Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
How was that, John?
That one was good.
Okay.
You're not changing it up too much. It's staying pretty consistent.
Here's the fun fact. I do have it memorized.
I know you do, you piece of shit.
All right. We are back on a Thursday.
In a thopter on a Thursday,
or whenever day you're listening to this, it's Thursday for us, or at least the release day is Thursday.
Yeah, it's not Thursday for us right now.
We are here to talk about the rest of what's going on in this ornithopter, because we got some interesting stuff starting to happen here.
We do. Not that the earlier part of this week wasn't interesting, because watching Duncan Idaho be a fucking badass
sure
is always fun.
It's not as flashy as a super tense chase through the city.
No.
But it is definitely green. Definitely some cool shit.
I'm feeling green.
Right yeah. So to recap, yesterday we left off with one of the guards, I believe Chigo, saying, "I've never had a highborn." And we get we start this minute off with the last part of the sentence, which is a question. You know, looking back at Kinnett, the Death Guard said, "You." And Kinnett comes back with a Bene Gesserit's "Ain't all highborn."
So it's not Kinnett that says that; it's the pilot that says that.
Oh, the pilot says it. Okay, sorry.
You're still in your head where it's either.
Yeah, they're the same person. Okay, so the pilot turns around and says, "Bene Gesserit's ain't all highborn. She's highborn enough for me."
And now Kinnett's line, "Let's feed the kid to the worms and give her a long goodbye."
Yep.
Which yep. is gross. Such a...
It's gross. I want to pause on that that statement. "Bene Gesserit's ain't all highborn."
Yep.
Which is an interesting thing for a presumably run-of-the-mill Harkonnen guard to say.
He's very picky.
Well, not even that. Just considering that the parentage and the lineage of Bene Gesserit is something that is like super, super closely guarded.
Yep.
How would they know? You know, how do they know anything about it?
So the Bene Gesserit that we know of that are named are Moheim and Jessica, at least as of right now. In part two, we'll talk about Lady Fenring when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know the history of Gaius Helen Moheim? Other than just what is presented to us?
I'm almost certain that it's in the encyclopedia. I've not like committed those passages to memory before, but
not that you were probably expecting to talk about it today either.
No, but there's long passages on her there. I do know that. I don't know. I found it interesting that they would have like comments on that as if they know that Bene Gesserit can come from anywhere. I mean, maybe that's what they know. They can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I took this as a highborn is probably referring to her like current, or maybe I guess at this point, former status in the Atreides family, not necessarily her actual lineage.
Yeah, you know? I feel like if they knew her actual lineage, they probably wouldn't be...
They probably wouldn't fuck with her.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't be treating her like shit, talking about giving her the long goodbye.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just, I found it to be like a statement that was talking well above what we can assume these guards' like stature is, I guess.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. I'm glad they said it. I mean, it's good for... I don't know. It's good for banter, I guess. Here, it is something that is mentioned in the books as well. Like that line is pulled from the books. So, it's kind of felt weird to me.
I'm sure we talked about it a little bit, like in some of our earlier episodes. But is there a Charles Xavier of the Bene Gesserit who's just going around looking for other people to like bring into?
I would imagine
their breeding program is also including, you know, breeding for optimal Bene Gesserit
most
candidates. But
most of the, as far as I understand it, most of the Bene Gesserit come from, their mothers are other Bene Gesserits.
Okay. So it's so not like, just like, oh, I found this random kid on.
Maybe. I'm sure there's some level of that because they, you know, they need to introduce new genetic material into the system every now and again.
Yeah.
But the practice, as I understand it, is like a Bene Gesserit will be assigned to a person or some, you know, some person with genetic material that they want. They will have a child and the Bene Gesserit will, you know, they're instructed to have daughters. So they will have the daughter.
Sometimes they disobey.
Well, at least on one occasion they have disobeyed it, but they will have the daughters and the daughters will immediately be taken into the Bene Gesserit program. So the mothers don't know who's, you know, who their daughters are. The daughters don't know who their mothers are. So yeah, it's kept secret in that manner.
Got it. All right.
Yeah. Then Uncle Fester says that long goodbye line and I don't like it. It's weird. It's gross.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a lot more subtle than the Lynch movie.
Yes, for sure. It is not the worst thing they could have said, I guess.
But then Paul's just like, don't you dare touch my mother. And then Chigo immediately just smacks the shit out of Paul. Yeah. And it's like whoever did the Foley on that smack sound, just beautiful work.
Yeah.
it's everything that you would want out of just like a smack sound.
Yeah.
In a movie. In my head when I was watching it, because you know, you gotta go back and everything. So I watched the smack a few times. And in my head I was like, how funny would it be if there was a cut of the movie where like instead of the smack sound it was just like a squeaky toy sound. Squeak.
So who, which smack was better, this one or?
Oh, the next the, one.
Or
the
no,
next
no, one. No, no. Or the smack, Will Smith's smack of Chris Rock at the Emmys.
Oh, this one. 100%.
This one's better? All right.
Well, no, the next one that's coming up is better.
Okay.
But we'll get to that one here in a second. But then, yeah, Uncle Fester is just like, don't talk. After, you know, Paul gets the shit smacked out of him, Jessica's just kind of giving him this look of like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But she knows what he's going to try and do next. And through Atreides' battle language, because like one of her hands is free enough, like on her side, where she can do battle language and she's not seen by the guards. And she's just immediately like, don't, you're not ready.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Fucking do it.
And he.
And then what does Paul do?
He does it.
He does it. Yep. But he doesn't do it well.
He does a weak ass attempt at using the voice.
Yep.
It's just not something that works at all. And the guard gives him this look. He's like, you little punk ass bitch. It almost looks like he's complying for a split second. So, it looks like he's doing something.
So Paul in his weak ass voice, and it's better than what we saw in the first few minutes of the movie where Paul's mouth was moving, but then the audio was delayed.
Yeah.
The audio was still in sync this time. And there were a couple other voices, but it wasn't as clear and as strong as say when Jessica does the voice.
Yeah.
Paul goes to say, remove her gag, but it's kind of remove her gag, like a little
just not grumbly. Quite there. Yeah.
And yeah, the guard for a brief second looks like he's being influenced, and then he just immediately turns and then just gut punches the shit out of Paul.
God, I love
also it with another amazing Foley like punch sound. And that's the smack that like is the smack sound.
Right. So while Paul is doubled over and, you know, trying to catch his breath again, and Jessica signs over to him, find the right pitch.
Yep.
And so clearly Paul's going to try to do this. So she might as well help.
Well, it's not that she can do anything cause she's gagged.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But why do you think they didn't gag Paul? I guess, maybe they don't
know. They knew that he wasn't Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like for safe measure.
Oh, do yeah, them no, both. It's definitely a you know, stupid villain oversight kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. He's got plot armor.
And then in Harkonnen, Chico then says, "We're far enough. Let's throw the boy out."
Yep. So Paul takes a deep breath. It looks like he's kind of entering into a meditative state.
And that's where
our minute ends. Right there.
Right there.
What a cliffhanger.
Guess you'll have to come back tomorrow to find out what happens. So if you're following this and not already have seen the movie, that's brave.
Certainly a choice.
Yep.
All right, yeah, some book anchors where we are. This is almost a word for word, or at least scene for scene, part of the story.
I feel like Frank might go a little more in depth on the long goodbye.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I will talk about that tomorrow. Actually, more. Yeah, I mean, we get. The guards arguing about where to set him down. The only thing that was really like left out of this sequence is that Jessica notices that there is another ornithopter following them. And in her head, she reasons it away as saying, and she's like, well, they obviously have guards watching these cars to make sure everything is going well. She's like, and the watchers probably have watchers on them too. Yeah. So real kind
Who
of like,
watches the watchers.
Yeah. Real kind of like, if you ever saw, remember Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Where they're talking with the KGB.
Also has Stellan Skarsgård.
Yep.
Fantastic miniseries.
Wonderful.
Probably going to rewatch it again.
Soon, hopefully, yeah. But there's a point where the director of the KGB in that show is talking about the circle of accountability that the KGB has, that everyone is watching everyone.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. Just like the watchers have watchers, and those watchers are watching these people, and these people are watching those people. He's like, that's how they keep each other accountable, I guess. Sure. Which I don't think exactly works.
There wasn't a lot of accountability with with that whole situation, but
And that's, I mean, that's kind of where the minute ends there. I don't have too many other book notes, and I'm gonna take us out a little bit quick on this one, just because we have a whole heck of a lot to talk about tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow's episode's gonna be thick.
Yes. So I'm going to tease a little bit. This is probably the longest amount of notes that I've wrote for a single episode in a very long time. So join us back tomorrow. We will be talking about kind of how the end of this ornithopter sequence with Paul and Jessica. A lot of cool stuff is going to happen. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you send us a good old-fashioned email at duneminute@gmail.com. So, come on back tomorrow so we can finish out this week.
We'll see you then.
See ya.